head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat 40. I'm with Anoush Sariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanser, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So, here's Rick.
And welcome in. This is Rick Redding, your host for the Rusty Satellite Show, bringing you the most interesting people in the Ville each and every week. Now, on week number 221 in this little Rusty Satellite adventure, glad to be with you, and I hope you're doing okay. I mean, really, are you all right? I am recording this podcast on Wednesday afternoon, hours after the press conference at the University of Louisville, where we learned that you won't have Tom Jurich and Rick Pitino to kick around anymore. It looks like the scandal involving involving paying a recruit to come to University of Louisville is the last straw for both of those guys. And there's a lot that's still going to happen. It's very early, so let's just calm down and settle down. There are a lot of repercussions that could happen. I'll talk a little bit about that later in the show, but hopefully you're taking a respite from the radio, from Sports Talk Radio, which is, I'm sure, enjoying very high ratings this week as this scandal blows through town like a hurricane. And so think of the Rusty Satellite Show as a little bit of a distraction. I have some really good news and some very exciting things to talk about here. And the second part of the show, I'm going to tell you about the Bowman Field Aviation Military Appreciation Aviation Heritage Show that's coming up on October 14th and 15th. I've got a great guest. Pat McDonald is going to be here with me to talk about that, and it is a pretty cool event over there, and I'm looking forward to telling you about that. First up, though, I have one of my favorite people in the world as a guest who was on one of the first ever Rusty Satellite shows, Gil Holland, the mayor of New Lou, they call him. You know, he's now in Portland, and I tell you, people don't realize if you until you go down to Portland and see Gil's office. It's in an old building. He is, for a guy that accomplished as much as he has and done as much as he has, his office is not fancy. Let's just say that. And I really enjoyed going down there and visiting with Gil this week and hearing about the 15-year anniversary of Sonoblast Records. Now, last week, if you were a loyal listener to this show, you heard Chadwick Wild, whose band The Quiet Hollers is on the Sonoblast label. And I think it's really, I'm not going to tell you now, but I want you to listen to the interview and hear how what inspired Gil to start up Sonoblast Records. It's a really cool story. He's got other cool things to say, and I think you're just going to enjoy it. It's sort of an upbeat thing. I mean, you know, I guess people are generally, with this big U of L news, are generally going to be down a little bit this week. I don't know. Some people are not affected at all. Some people don't pay attention to sports. They don't pay attention to U of L sports, but a lot of people do. And it is the topic of conversation. Even somebody like me is getting texts from friends who are, you know, wanting to talk about it. I got calls from people that have nothing to do with sports or U of L that wanted to talk about it. So anyway, I'll get into that a little bit more in another part of the show. But right now, let's get on to a happier topic. This Saturday, by the way, the New Lou Festival, Gil Holland's you know, if you realize what New Lou is now and know that this is only the ninth annual New Lou Festival, I think I was at the first one, and it was nothing like it is now. And credit to Gil for transforming that neighborhood into something that the city is really, really proud of. And I can't wait to go down to the New Lou Festival this week, see all these Sonoblast recording artists, and have a good time down there. I'm sure I'll run into Gil, who's a very accessible guy, and appreciate that. So anyway, let's get on with the interview with Gil Holland. Remember, Pat McDonald of Bowman Field is coming up in the second part of the show, and I'll have some things to say about the U of L scandal right after the interview. So here's me and Gil.
I had no use for health insurance, but my mom was always saying, sign up for Passport. And I was like, Mom. She was like, for my peace of mind. It got to be where I needed peace of mind, so I did. Now my mom, she can chill, and I feel pretty good about it too.
Together we can all feel better. Call 1-800-578-0603 and ask for Passport. That's 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan, working together for a healthier Kentucky.
Wow, congrats on 220.
220, well, can you amazing? You know, milestones are great, and you got it. It puts us right into the big milestone. Sonoblast Records, I had the Quiet Hollers on the show last week and learned all the great things you did for them, but tell me about Sonoblast and its 20-year anniversary?
15-year anniversary 15. Of Sonoblast. So November 2nd, 2002, our very first record was released, which is Mark Geary's 33 and a Third Grand Street, which is still one of my favorite records of all time. You notice I still call them records.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if my grandchildren will even know what a record is. But we started the label 15 years ago and, you know, moved it here with me 12 years ago, and we're super excited. So this year's 9th annual Nulu Fest is in some ways, you know, we're treating it here at Sonoblast Records as our 15th birthday party.
Well, good. Well, it's well-deserved. And I know for my audience, there's a lot of people that don't know about Sonoblast. So, tell me some of the artists that we might have heard of.
Right. So the fun thing is, you know, I started the record label in 2002 basically seeing a challenge or an opportunity in the film business, because when you're making a movie, one of the last things that you have to do is clear all the music, right? You got to put in the score. You got to find all the background Cars and Bars type music. And it's really hard to license music because there's two separate ownerships. There's the ownership of the master recording, and then there's the ownership of the song copyright. And it's all very complicated and arcane music business. But I was like, man, it should be easier because I'm getting great exposure for these musicians. So when I was living in New York, I started, you know, I was always scouting new music, and because I was always trying to find great, inexpensive music that I could put in my movies, seeing it as a win-win for the artist and win for my movies, and especially the budget. And also, when you're making a movie, you always run out of money at the end, and then you never have any money to clear music, so there's always that challenge. So I said, look, I'm going to just start my own label. Part of this also was because I had kind of fallen in love with the music of Mark Geary, who I thought was this super famous Irish singer. And one day my assistant came in and she's like, that guy Mark Geary's playing at Mercury Lounge. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I get tickets for everybody. We all go down. And, you know, there I'm expecting to see this Irish pop sensation. And it turned out it was Irish Mark, the bartender from the bar where I was a regular. And after the show, he's like, thanks for coming out. And I'm like, you're Mark Geary? You're Irish Mark. There was two Marks at this bar, Irish Mark and Scottish Mark. So I was just gushing, and finally he's like, you want to help me put out a record? And I was like, yeah. So I bought a couple books about the music industry, and a couple days later gave him a contract and said, I'm going to start a label.
So that's what you do. You buy a couple of books to learn about the industry, and then you go jump in, right?
Exactly. And so instead of doing it, I had a TV show on the Fox Network called Greg the Bunny. So I'd made a little bit of money, and I'd sold my film talent management company at the height of the market in 2001. So I had, instead of doing anything sensible, like, you know, buy a house or apartment, I started a record label music publishing company. And right, you know, in the ashes of Napster, when the music business was at an all-time low. So I figured there was only one way to go. And then, you know, the great thing is coming to Louisville, there is so much amazing music. You know, Louisville's one of these great gems because it's relatively inexpensive to live here. And so creative people can really blossom and reach their full potential because they don't have to work 80 hours a week like my musician artist friends in, you know, in some of these bigger cities.
Right. Well, okay.
So one of the many first people we met was a really young guy named Bento Lee.
Yeah.
And so we helped him put out his first full-length record, and obviously the rest is history. He's amazing. And so we do some publishing with him. We did his live record. And we're really excited that he's coming back for the 9th annual Nulu Fest.
Nulu Fest.
And Mark Geary is coming all the way from Dublin.
Wow.
Just to play the birthday party.
Well, I guess the Quiet Hollers are on the road. I think I saw their schedule, so they won't be here.
No, they are. The Quiet Hollers is playing.
Oh, wow.
9 p.m. on Saturday.
Good deal.
And we're very excited. Shadwick, the funny thing about Shadwick is, you know, a lot of times, I mean, I had emailed with Shadwick like 7 years ago. Because his aunt is in the film business and theater world, and she's like, oh yeah, you should check out my nephew Shadwick. And we emailed a couple times, but I never saw him. And then I was at the Tim Faulkner Gallery, I don't know, a year or so ago, and there was this band, and they were on their last two songs, and I was like, whoa, this band is amazing. Who is this band? And somebody said Quiet Hollers. I was like, oh, yeah, I kind of heard, oh, yeah, they won the Louisville Music Award. And they said, oh, you should talk to Shadwick. And I'm like, Shadwick? And they're like, yeah, the lead singer is Shadwick Wild. I was like, oh, my gosh, I was emailing with him 7 years ago, but we'd never actually met.
Wow. Well, certainly he's a big fan of yours. And you know, to hear his story the way he told it last week was, you know, they were at the end of the rope, sort of needed something to happen or they weren't going to make it. So,
yeah, I mean, I think a lot of creative people have that moment in their life where they're like, look, do I continue, you know, digging the hole, trying to find the pot of gold? Do I continue believing in myself, or do I just cut my losses and you know, kind of and move on? And you know, whether or not he was really at that point, because I mean, I think he's a true artist who's a lifer. You know, sometimes you sign somebody and then they end up taking a different path, and they're still talented, but you know, it's so much work and it's a lot of sacrifice, and you know, the overnight sensation really takes 10 years and sometimes 20 years.
Yeah, exactly.
And they've put in the hours. They have their 10,000 hours, as one would say. Yeah. And
we were talking about that. Well, great. Not to switch gears. Okay, so not the Portland Festival. The Nulu Festival is this weekend on Saturday.
Yep.
And that's my favorite of all the festivals we have around town. I think Nappy Roots there a couple.
They were there. Yeah, ago. Like. 5-6 years ago. I mean, they all start to blur, and I'm so excited. It looks like we're gonna have really, really fantastic weather. Mm-hmm. And you know, in the past, the first Nulu Fest, I mean, I think Ben Sully got to play like three songs, and then this crazy storm came in. So it's looking like, you know, last year we had a little over 20,000 people, so we're thinking 30,000 people
and
this year.
Plenty of sonoblast artists.
Yeah, it's all sonoblast. There's one woman that we're kind of circling named Shania Robinson, and so we're excited to see her perform live. And we're excited Cooper's Craft came on for the first year as a major sponsor, so we're excited to share some Cooper's Bourbon with everybody. And, you know, it's family, fun family. I got family tent. And, you know, Rick Murphy, who's the president of the Nulu Business Association, Christine Vaughn's kind of the event producer. I think she's been with every festival except maybe the first one.
Wow.
And Candace, and, you know, the three of them are really putting together a great event.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to make my way down here, down there after the football game on Saturday. So so maybe I can do that. But we're sitting here in Portland, and we did this, I guess, 3 years ago for this show, and a lot's changed. I guess. Tell me about the progress here in Portland.
Right. So we're really excited about all this. You know, we just celebrated our fourth annual Portland Art and Heritage Fair. We had a great turnout, probably four times as many people as the third annual.
I just want to tell you, if it was Danny Syme or somebody else, I saw those posters all over town.
Yeah.
I mean, every part of the city.
Yeah, we had some good Wildcat postering. it was really fun. And, you know, the Dolfinger Building, which is the historic 1850 building behind us, we put up a historical marker to celebrate that. And that building is now filled with great nonprofits like World Affairs Council, Interfaith Paths to Peace, Sister Cities of Louisville, the Onshaw Project, Cities United, Margaret Harris, James Linton have their community conversations over there. And then there's some really great artists, Danny Syme, Braylon Stewart, some others. So we're excited that that building is completely filled up as of probably 6 months ago. Richard Sullivan, who's the former Atlanta Braves pitcher, who's now an amazing artist, is over there as well. And, you know, this building where we are right now, the Anchor Building, is also the home to the University of Kentucky School of Architecture, their satellite kind of Louisville campus. So we're super excited. And then there's lots of things that, you know, we had nothing to do with but have been springing up, like Cup of Joy, the Christian restaurant about a block away. Obviously, The Table is a huge off-the-chart success, even featured last November on Guy Fieri's TV show, Dives, Drive-Ins, and Diners, I think it's called.
Yeah, it certainly was.
And then obviously all the businesses from Heine Brothers to Interapt. There's a lot of activity.
Well, it's amazing, and knowing where it started, I mean, you must have run into a lot of resistance or skepticism at the beginning. I guess you still are.
Yeah, there's always healthy skepticism, and I do think now people see it as kind of has the potential to be, you know, the next Schnitzelberg or something, if you want to call it the next something.
Yeah.
But really, we're just trying to get Portland back to the pre-1937 flood density, you know, because right now there's still almost one in four vacant abandoned properties. We fixed up 16 shotgun houses, which were in very bad shape, and lots of bad things were happening in those buildings, and that kind of urban acupuncture, we think, mm-hmm. helped have a really nice ripple effect. So the, you know, crime rate has plummeted. We've had some challenges, of course, always there, but things are trending in the right way. So we're really excited. Lots of activity. We're trying to build some buildings across the street there to bring more retail. You know, we need a laundromat. We need some basic stuff. There's a beautiful Kroger 10 blocks to the west of me, 8 blocks to the west of me. We're trying to build some apartments here behind us.
Well, coinciding with all this great stuff that's going on in Portland is a lot of activity up on Broadway. And I would guess that you would say that it brings a lot of momentum with the Passport building, the YMCA. Even they're talking about this big track and field facility down here. Does that stuff just happen? I mean, with the momentum of what you've started, and here they are.
Well, I think there's, you know, it takes a lot of kind of individual leadership. Like, you know, Mark Carter, amazing, the CEO of Passport. Sadiq Reynolds, the CEO of Urban League. Really exciting, the Passport project and the Heritage West project. And that sports facility is going to be amazing. You know, my theory is that Louisville, in some ways, you know, we're not an island. You know, if people talk about Manhattan real estate, they're always like, well, Manhattan's an island, so it has to expand and neighborhoods have to kind of improve in terms of building infrastructure. Louisville, in some ways, especially the Portland neighborhood, is almost an island because it's basically surrounded on three sides by water because, you know, mm-hmm. Portland is the bump. So if you look at, you know, zoning and Prospect and the development in Oldham County, it just makes sense that Louisville has to embrace everything west of 9th Street. And, you know, everything west of 9th Street, if it was its own city, it'd be the fourth largest city in the state of Kentucky. So there's so much potential, so many great people. And, you know, for, I would say, since the 37 flood, there's just been 8 decades of kind of disinvestment. And, you know, that's also led to bad PR, you know, bad media coverage. And also folks that have kind of lost some hope about a brighter future for themselves.
Sure. I just, and this is about the last question we got time for, but the deal with crime down here, and that's what people, when you ask people who haven't been west of 9th Street what their thoughts are on West Louisville, they always go to the crime issue. And, I mean, are there things, you say the crime rate's down here, and what do you attribute that to, and is that going to be something that you think is going to continue to go that way?
Yeah, I do think. Well, if you look at Nulu, you know, 10 years ago, there was at least 3 emergency calls every day. Because, you know, I was there, Jenica's was there, some artists were there, and that was about it on one level. And so we saw the police cars and the ambulances and the fire trucks every day. I would say probably 3 calls a day. Now there's almost no crime in Nulu, and there's thousands of times more people there.
Right.
So, you know, our theory is if you invest in your community, invest in the people in the community, fix up the vacant buildings where a lot of these crimes happen or kind of fester, the, you know, people then see, you know, if it's somebody who was going to go into the criminal world, now they'll see potential for more productive jobs in society.
All right, Gil. Well, we'll just wrap it up here, but congratulations. I'll see you down at the Nulu Festival.
See you at Nulu Fest. We'll have a booth for Sonoblast, and, you know, Mark Geary's coming from Ireland, and he's not to be missed. He's at 7. I think Ben Solis at 8. Quiet Hollers at 9. The Pass at 10. And then in the afternoon, we have Heidi Howe and Michael Whitus and Jenna Dean is another great local band. So we're super excited.
Hey, this is Dan Vonderhyde.
Stephanie White.
And we are 40-ish.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
We talk about it every week on the 40-ish podcast. What do we talk about?
Wisdom. We drop some wisdom and just everything that's going on in our lives that relates to what might be going on in yours.
We have guests. We talk to people on the street. We're dropping knowledge all over the place. You can hear it every Wednesday. Comes out on Louisville.am.
All right, and as I mentioned, I am recording this show on Wednesday afternoon. The press conference was a couple hours ago over at U of L, and you know, I'm getting calls from people that don't have anything to do with U of L wanting to talk about this thing. Maybe to give you an idea of how big it is, and I know that I'm not going to be revealing anything that isn't already adequately covered in this town. This is every media operation in the city is working overtime on this, and I think they've like gone 24/7 on sports radio. It's almost ridiculous. But let me read you the headlines in the Courier Journal right now. On the Courier Journal website, there aren't any headlines that aren't about this issue. The first one: Rick Pitino effectively fired at University of Louisville. The second, about some recruits: Ramey and Simons withdraw pledges to Louisville. A question headline: are Rick Pitino and Tom Jurich really fired? Jurich suspended as Louisville athletic director. Who will Louisville hire to replace Rick Pitino? U of L removes Adidas logo from Facebook page. The U of L basketball scandal moment by moment, a rehashing of it. All in Kentucky suffer from U of L scandal, an opinion piece. Where is Brian Bowen? He is the controversial player who allegedly received the $100,000. He was spotted on campus, and you can watch a replay of the press conference, too. There's all that going on. We also learned this week Tom Jurich's daughter is an Adidas employee, and that Pitino and Jurich were the best paid in the nation. So there's a lot going on. It's dominating the news. I want to touch on a couple aspects of it. One of the things we'll be looking forward to, I watched the press conference. President Postol said that they would be announcing a new athletic director and coach within 48 hours. Even though, now, officially, I guess at this point, at this moment, Pitino and Jurich are just suspended. It seems like he said that Pitino was suspended without pay and Jurich was suspended with pay, which is, another thing to figure out. But the early speculation on who is the interim athletic director would be Junior Bridgman, the former U of L All-American basketball player who has run who is a great entrepreneur in the restaurant industry. Has been a member of the U of L board and seems a natural choice, which is why his name came up first. He's somebody that could step in, wouldn't really probably expect to keep the job long term, and would probably has a great reputation. So there's going to be no, I don't think there would be any controversy over that if he were selected. Now, some IU friends are already tweeting about the possibility of Tom Crean, who's available and could probably be persuaded to become the head coach at the University of Louisville. He is the former Indiana University coach who was fired over there for, well, some people thought he should be fired. Others thought he shouldn't have. But anyway, I think he's a good coach. I like him. I remember him at Marquette. And Crean is the first name to pop up on the boards as the because you got to understand, this is a situation where you have to find a coach that's available. That's the number one thing. That you're not going to persuade somebody who already has a job to up and leave to go coach this bunch on on what could be an interim basis, because I guess they're still holding out the possibility that Pitino could come back. So we'll see how that goes. But I think the repercussions for the university financially are really big. You know, this scandal involves Adidas. And Adidas recently announced a massive package of support for the university athletic department. I don't know if that package of support, the contract of Adidas between Adidas and U of L, is going to be able to continue. It's really in question. And the question is, you know, there's still talk around town about the NCAA possibly leveling the death penalty against the U of L basketball program. Now, the repercussions of that, should that ever happen, basically we're talking about real trouble for the Yum Center, because the U of L basketball is the number one tenant at the Yum Center. It's where the money comes from. And if they aren't, I mean, they're in trouble if they don't sell enough tickets, but if they're not having games, it would be a monstrous thing. So Anyway, there is just a lot to talk about, and if you really want to get into it, you know, I suggest you go back to local sports radio and your Twitter feed and all your friends and talk about this. I'm still going to the football game. Talk about being overshadowed. Louisville's playing Murray State in football on Saturday, and I got season tickets, so I guess I'm going to be there. Go to the New Lou Festival afterwards, and it should all be a great weekend around here. I'm just wondering what the atmosphere is going to be like at the U of L football game. Hopefully, they'll go in and run Murray State out of town, because the last thing we need is a dismal performance on the football field like they had up at UK last week. This is, you know, I'm not going to go into talking all about sports, but if you anybody that paid attention, UK has lost to Florida now 31 straight years, and had this game wrapped up, had it won, and basically coaching errors from Mark Stoops caused the Cats to lose that game and extend the streak to 31 against Florida. It's a down time. It's people that are really into this can't understand how a competent head football coach can make such mistakes as leaving receivers uncovered in crucial periods and causing the Cats to basically snatch defeat from the jaws of victory is what they did. So that happened. They've got Eastern Michigan this week, and I think the point spread is 10 or 15 or maybe even more. But hopefully, for them, the Cats will get well and play well on Saturday against Eastern Michigan. So anyway, that's the sports thing is sort of dominating the news this week. I think we maybe ought to take a step back and turn off the radio and listen to some music and enjoy living. Did you go to the Bourbon and Beyond Festival last week? I stopped in for a little bit. I saw Trombone Shorty play. He was awesome. Never seen a guy do things like that with a trombone, and walked around the grounds a little bit. It was pretty hot on Sunday, but really enjoyed the show. And now this week I won't be going into the same sort of festival at the same place. It's called the Louder Than Life Festival, and it's hard rock metal bands, but has been very successful in Louisville for 3 or 4 years now. And they will be, you know, if you live near Champions Park down there on the river, you're going to hear this festival, and it brings a lot of people into town. You got to give them that. The promoters are very, very professional. They know what they're doing. Danny Wimmer presents, and now I think we have a new tradition of back-to-back weekends of outdoor festivals on the river. So that's a pretty cool thing for our city. I'm very happy about that. So anyway, that's what's going on, and that's what's in the news. There are no other stories. If you wanted to get away with something like the what's in the background, this whole national anthem thing with the NFL has sort of been into the background. I will just tell you briefly that the things that our president, I don't really agree with anything that he's ever done, but this is especially egregious because he had no business saying this. He called Americans, American citizens, SOBs, and he was doing it just because he was in Alabama and there were a bunch of racists down there, and he wanted to get a big applause from these people by saying something that was just, you know, bound to fire a certain part of our society up. And all that's happened as a result of that should never have happened. It's not the president's place to be making a comment like that. It was nice to see a lot of people in football criticizing him, and of course it doesn't affect him. At least the guy in Alabama that he was down there to support got beat in the election. That's we can think maybe that's a little sign that people are getting tired of this guy and what he's doing. So anyway, that's the story that got knocked to the back burner, along with a few other things. Is in Louisville, the news is dominated by this basketball scandal at U of L, and as well it should be. It's going to change things for the worse around here for a little while. So we'll see. There's a lot going to be coming up. By the time you listen to this, the whole story may have changed. But anyway, that's where we are Wednesday afternoon. I'm excited about my next guest. I went by Bowman Field the other day and talked to Pat McDonald. He's a pilot. He's got a great story of growing up right in the neighborhood and becoming a pilot, and now he's involved in this a big event at Bowman Field. I think you're going to be interested. If you have any interest in aviation and history and the military, you certainly should go by there. I think it's, I don't know if we say this in the interview, but it's $10 to get in for adults. If you're military, you get in free, some other things, but it's on Friday and Saturday. You can go to their website, just Google Bowman Field Aviation Heritage, and you'll get it. It's a good thing. My good friend Caroline Knopp helped me set this up, and I'm excited. I may drop by there on Saturday, maybe before the game. That might be an idea. The game's at 3:30 at Papa John's Cardinal Stadium. So, anyway, I think you'll be interested in what Pat McDonald has to say and learn something about Bowman Field in this interview, and I'll be back after that.
Hi, this is Alec Bowles, co-host of the What Happens Next podcast on Louisville.am. We talk about improv each week with We Are the Louisville Improvisers.
Yeah, totally.
With Chris Anger and Brian Hines.
Yeah.
And Jenny.
Where's my water?
Okay. Well, right now we're just having a few treats. So we hope you can listen. Find us at Louisville.am in iTunes or using the Stitcher app on your iPhone or Android device.
All right, today I'm at Bowman Field with Pat McDonald, who is, you've never wandered far from here, have you?
Have not. Thank you for having me today.
glad to have you on the Rusty Satellite Show. Now, you were born within, a mile of
just a mile.
Sitting?
Born and raised, or not born in Atlanta, Georgia, but moved up here to Seneca Gardens in the mid-60s and spent my whole life as a child in Seneca Gardens, and then moved over across the street on Tails Road where I live today. So within a mile of the field.
Wow, we're just going over that. You know, it's amazing when you can put a whole bunch of your life into like one area, because you're St. Raphael, St. X, Bellarmine, all that. But anyway, we're here today to talk about the Aviation and Military Heritage Festival, which is coming up.
Yes, it's October 14th and 15th, Saturday and Sunday. A wonderful show. It's our second show this year, the first one where we combine the aviation show with the military show. Okay. We have wonderful good planes coming out. It should be a great show.
People really I guess there's a lot of people that are really either fascinated by or really into the idea of planes and seeing these old ones.
Oh, you know, it is true. Everywhere you go around the country, people come out of the woodwork to watch their planes, especially old planes flying. You don't see them that often. But Bowman Field has such a rich history here in Louisville. People don't realize. And if they come out to the show or to the festival, they'll have access to the history, and we can send them electronic history of Bowman.
Okay.
But just in the early days, there were years when there were thousands of people out here at the fence line watching planes take off, just come and go, and kids.
Because it certainly predates the big airport.
Yes. Right? Started in 1919. Mr. Bowman started with just a few acres where the present site is now, and then became a commercial airport in 1922. But for all intents and purposes, 1919 is the birthday or year of Bowman Field.
And I guess a lot of people, you know, it's just something I'm interested in. If you are, you know, have the money for lessons and all that, and you want to become a pilot, this is where you come.
Oh, without a doubt. And there's probably never been a better time to become a pilot. You know, part of our focus at Bowman Field is to raise the awareness and get the kids involved.
Okay.
And there's actually a pilot shortage in the United States today. And coming up to be a young child or kid today interested in aviation, the world's his oyster, his or her oyster, with regards to careers in aviation.
Okay. Well, you grew up, I guess, looking out your bedroom window at all these planes going up and down over there. What sparked your interest in, because you're a pilot
and have been one for some time.
Yes, I guess growing up, my dad always loved trains and planes, and he would bring us over to the field as young kids and always looking up. And that's probably my deep root is aviation from there. So, yeah, I became a pilot my late teenage years. Stopped a little bit when I finished up school. Had to pay for college. Got finished with college and got my license in the late 80s. Okay. And remain a pilot to this day.
Wow. Well, outside of that, I want to talk to you a little bit about your career because it's a little bit fascinating. You've been a success in the business world. Mm-hmm. Starting with and you have a part of your past is with Microsoft, which mm-hmm. always perks people's ears up when they hear. Mm-hmm. What's Bill Gates like?
I tell you, he's an interesting gentleman and very. I get to meet Bill a few times along with Steve Ballmer, then a couple guys there, and wonderful company. I got out of Bellarmine, graduated from there in the late 80s, and I was in business development in different careers. Spent a lot of time in the healthcare space and the medical device industry.
Okay.
And worked for companies like Bard and mostly stents and catheters and heart devices. And that's where I ran into a guy at Microsoft who liked what I was doing in that industry. And he kept calling me and said, if you ever want to leave there, let me know. I could use you at Microsoft. I was not a techie. I didn't know a server from a PC, from a land or anything. But I knew how to create partnerships and business models and went to work for them for a while. And left them to start a small investment company, and that's what I've done for the last 20 years.
Well, it sounds like it's successful because I'm kind of jealous because I think we're about the same age, and you're like semi-retired, going to travel the world, right? And I got to stay here and do these shows every week. So.
Well, you live the life you choose to live, right? My wife and I have been blessed. Our parents, both sets of parents, are still living, and we decided to take a couple years off now to travel because we anticipate being willing and loving caregivers for them later in life if we're blessed. So I've been able to travel a little bit around the region.
Okay. And you're spending a lot of your time on activities here at Bowman Field. And I know I want to mention before we get through that you were recently appointed to the Regional Airport Authority, which is sort of a big deal. You'll be able to help make decisions that affect things here. But primarily as a... I guess as a force in favor of Bowman Field.
Yeah. Well, yes, I was asked by Sissy Musselman, who is a board member of the Louisville Regional Airport Authority for the last 20 years, if I'd be interested in putting my name in to the governor to be appointed for the board. I said, sure, anything I can do to help. And she and Mr. Jim Welch encouraged me to put my name in. I did. The governor reviewed my credentials and asked me if I would sit for a four-year term. So I was appointed earlier this year to the Regional Airport Authority Board of Directors, and I said I'm the new guy on the block, so I sit there quietly in the meetings, but only do that to give back to the not only Louisville in the aviation community, but also the state and the general aviation.
Okay.
A big passion.
Okay. Well, I'm just being nosy and curious. Mm-hmm. Is that like a job interview? You go in and meet with the governor and, talk about... stuff?
No, I didn't get a chance to meet with the governor. However, that is on the short list. Well, except for this meeting, but it was gone through a series of vettings and was recommended to him, and he signed off. And so, but we do have a meeting here in the short term, which makes me a little nervous because I like to stay behind the scenes. I'm not a front of the camera kind of person, and I like to just do the good work and give back to the community as best I can because I've been blessed from this community.
Okay. Well, I imagine if you have that meeting, he'll do all the talking anyway. So
I'm sure.
you'll probably be fine.
Very much so.
We just got a few minutes left here, but I'd like to hear about somebody that's interested in coming out here. What are some of the highlights in terms of the planes? Are there celebrities? I know there's going to be music and food and all that, like everything else. But what makes this special is all these planes, right?
Yes. This is a wonderful festival because we're combining both the military history and the civil aviation history of Bowman Field, and Bowman Field has had a large impact in Louisville, not only from aviation but also on the military side. If not for the military, Bowman Field would probably not have grown to the size it is today, nor had the impact that we've had. And at one point in time, Bowman Field was one of the busiest airports in the country, and it was a gateway to the South. But during the festival, I think you'll get a chance to come out. You'll be able to see a little bit of the history of the military history from World War I all the way to present conflicts in Afghanistan, as well as touch and feel and smell some of the planes that either participated then or have been a part of aviation since then.
Okay.
And you'll be able to interact with, there'll be a lot of learning, a lot of times to sign up. Good food with the food trucks and bourbons and a good experience overall.
Yeah. Well, I would imagine, I mean, growing up, I mean, there was a lot of, glory attached to being a pilot. I don't know if you had if you read the right stuff like I did and said, wow, those guys are cool.
Sure.
I mean, did you have a heroes in your world?
You know, I grew up and I always liked, believe it or not, Snoopy and the Red Baron, jokingly. But no, growing up as a kid, in the old days when you used to go out to the Lee Terminal at Stanford Field, you could go out into the onto the airport and walk up the steps and get in the planes. And the pilots would meet you with a set of wings and put you in the front seat. And that kind of – that galvanized such a neat passion. Actually, I was scared to fly and scared of heights. And I learned early on. Dad said, well, just do it three times and see if you like it after the third time. So the first time I went flying, I got sick, and that wasn't fun. But I kept going back, and it's such a wonderful gift. And it's not—it's very reachable by anybody. It's not very expensive, and the FAA really wants to encourage learning to fly.
Okay.
So I encourage people to come out and be part of it.
Is there some sort of push? I mean, is it to more for young people or you know people like me that are. You know, maybe not me, but people like me that have the time and
sure.
the money, I guess.
A friend of mine is in the military. He was in the military. Now he just decided to become an airline captain, airline pilot, ATP okay. they call it, is the rating. But to answer your question specifically, yes, from 16 years old on up to, to become a commercial pilot to fly passengers. In your 50s, that's probably pushing it because you have to retire in your 60s there. But there are wonderful opportunities.
But if I just want to fly a small plane.
Oh, sure, sure.
For kicks.
Come out. There's several flight schools here on the field, and that would come out, and you can do a discovery flight to see if you like it. And they'll let you take control and, you know, do some turns and banks and all the fun stuff. You won't flip over and get scared. And then if you like it, there's several ways. And a lot of the schools, I mean, we're strongly working with some of the local schools to try to encourage aviation programs within the schools. And I think you'll see some of that moving forward. I know the governor is very strong in general aviation in Kentucky, too.
Okay. Well, yeah, it certainly seems like a career path that if you have it in you that you have the interest and what do you have to I mean people that are good pilots they have to be good in like science and
yeah I mean there are some general skills. Your coordination is pretty good. You have to know some your basic math and your communication skills. Those all come into play. You don't have to excel in anything. You're not looking for the top students, the movie star Top Gun type stuff. No. It's you just have to show up on time, do a good job, and pay attention and be willing to learn. And it's a very, very rewarding career and hobby.
Do you have like a big thrill that a flying thrill that you've had in your life? Something that happened?
Well, it's funny, real quick, I know we're touched for time here, but when we were growing up, my dad had our boundaries. You could not go across what is now Pee Wee Reese Road, but at the time it was the Park Boundary Road.
Yeah.
Of course, Dad traveled during the week, and he was gone, so I went over to the airport. And the Goodyear blimp came in for a Airstream convention and was here for a week. And as I stood there, standing there, paying attention to the blimp, the Wave TV, or one of the news crews, did a story on it. I wasn't part of the story, just standing there in the background. Dad came home from work, watched the segment, saw me standing there. He said, son, did you go past your boundaries today? And I said, no, sir. And he said, yes, you did, and had me busted right there on TV. Grounded for a week, but that was – later on, we got to fly in that blimp, so that was a fun – I got to pilot that blimp, too, so that was real fun.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Mm-hmm. All right, well, we're going to wrap it up here, but the Aviation Military Heritage Festival, October
14th and 15th.
14th and 15th.
Saturday
and anybody can come. It's free.
Sure. And there's rides on vintage planes, wonderful food trucks. There'll be bands. It's a wonderful experience to come out and experience Bowman Field, but also learn a little about the history.
All right. Well, hopefully people come out and look around for you and get to meet you.
I'll be working. I guarantee that.
All right.
Well, thank you for your time.
All right. So remember, get out there to the Bowman Field Aviation and Military Heritage Festival this weekend, Saturday. It's not this weekend. It's October 14th and 15th. I may have misspoke earlier. October 14th and 15th is when that is. Join me out there. It's going to be fun. And also, before I get any further into the show, I want to thank my sponsor, Passport Health Plans, for supporting this show and all that they do. I do a lot of extra work for them. You can check out my work for Passport Health Plan in Insider Louisville. I do a story once a month over there, and appreciate the opportunity to do that work for Passport, which is in the West, which is moving its headquarters to the West End, where I met with Gil Holland and doing some stuff, and it's all great. It's all great. So there is one big thing I forgot to mention this week. I am so excited. My favorite musical artist, my hero, Paul Thorne, is coming to town. He's going to be at the Brown Theater on Friday night, and that's where you'll find me in the very front row. I called early and got tickets. So I'm so excited. It's the Burning Down the Trailer Park tour, I think. It's a special show, and if you don't know about Paul Thorne, who sings the theme song to this Rusty Satellite podcast, what the hell is going on, be sure and check him out. Come on out and say hello to me in the front row. That's where I'll be. All right. I hope I've been a little bit of a distraction from the bad news about U of L and all the scandal over there. Don't take it so hard. Don't let it get you down too much. It's just college sports. It's just 20-year-olds playing basketball. That's all it is. And the money that is involved is not your money, and you will be fine as far as the people involved in everything. There's going to be repercussions. We're going to be hearing about that for a long time in this town, and it's really going to change the whole perception of the university, which has gone through some tough times in the last few years, primarily because I think there's a lot of money going around, a lot of money available for people to figure out a way to get in ways they shouldn't get it. Did I say that right? I don't know. But anyway, cheer up. The U of L thing is not a part of your life or your family, and so just keep that in mind as you move forward. It's all good. And the Rusty Satellite Show is all good every week. I've always tried to bring you the most interesting people in the Ville, and I think I succeeded this week. Thanks to Gil Holland and to Pat McDonald for joining me on the show. And I will look forward to seeing you next week for show number 222.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.
Time I talk.